things in our lives because we are creating based on our thinking, the state of how our lives are going to be in the future, we're bringing those feelings into fruition. In other words, we are creating the circumstance for the disappointment in the future because we are bringing it from the past and with our thinking. We have already determined what life is going to be like because that's all we can see. And since we can't see anything else, that's all we can create. And by the way, we are creating. And so I talked about, you got to document last week. You got to start paying attention to your thinking. You have to start documenting your thought processes. And I suggested that you get a journal. Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know who got it and who didn't. It's not important right now. But I said to you, in essence, you need to see how often are you thinking in certain patterns. You need to document how you are speaking when you are thinking in these patterns. You need to document how you are interacting with others when you are in these thought patterns so that you can start to see. And then you need to do how often are you thinking like this in the course of a day. In order for you to renew your mind, you need to know what needs to be renewed. You can't say just casually, I want my mind renewed. Well, the brain doesn't work that way, so it's not going to just pick up something to be renewed. You have to tell it what to do, or it'll do what it wants to do. Or let me rephrase, it'll do what you have trained it to do. That's a better way of saying it. That's a better way of saying it. So I really thought this morning I was going to really get into the steps, but the ghost didn't let me do that. And he said it wasn't time yet. There's something else you don't know and you don't understand. And he showed me, and now I'm going to show you. All right? So this morning I want to talk about knowing what, not why. Now you just stay with me. I'll be there after a while. You'll understand. Knowing what, not why. Okay. Say, well, what in the world? There's a tendency to not pay attention to the things we do in our daily living. We've covered this. And partly because we've done them so often. The things we do are mostly done without any conscious effort on our part. Most of the things that we do every day, we do them without thinking about having to do them. We do them because we have done them so many times that we don't even have to give any thought to doing it. It's just programmed in that we're going to do this. It's like when you first learn to drive. When you first get behind the wheel of an automobile or you're getting around something you're driving, man, it takes all of your attention and your focus to, you know, I mean, you tightly holding onto the wheel, you know, you're watching everything, you're nervous about everything, you know, you're mashing on the brake and the gas too hard, and the car's moving, and you're fearful, can I control this thing? That's the first time. After you have done this a while, month, two, three, a day comes when you give no thought to what it takes to drive. You don't think at all about driving. In fact, you probably get from point A to point B, didn't even remember what you saw or how you got there, what you did to get there, because your body knows. With no real focus on your part. That's why you texting, doing your eyes, you doing everything else while you driving. And the brain knows, okay, she's doing her hair. Okay, let's watch out. You know, get her out over here. And you're doing it automatically. You don't even think about it. Everybody with me? And so then, we rarely question whether or not we should be doing what we are doing. We do it, but we rarely ask, should I do this? We just do. That's because we fail to see the impact the lives of those around us based on the things that we do. And when there is no consideration or understanding of the consequences of our actions, what we're doing, see, when you don't think about what you are doing has impact on you and those around you, then there is no desire or motivation to change or modify your behavior because you don't see how it's impacting you or those around you. And if you're not recognizing that, there's nothing that's going to motivate you to renew your mind because you can't see that it needs renewing. Okay, all right. Y'all stay with me. Case in point. When you have become comfortable with bad diets, and you don't even give it a second thought, you just eat what you want to eat, the way you want to eat it. When you want to eat it, how often you want to eat it, no consideration for what it is possibly doing to you. It's only after the doctor says, if you don't stop this, now you know what is, what the what is, I want to eat whatever I want to eat. But there is no paying attention to the why. Why should I consider what I'm eating? Now when the medical record comes up and says, if you don't quit this, you ain't going to be here much longer. Oh, then I need to modify my diet because if I don't, it is going to take me out sooner than I should be taken out. But until you got that news of why, there was no desire to change anything about your diet. Okay, y'all still ain't feeling me. Okay. All right, case in point, bad company. Bad company. When you have allowed yourself be in the company of folk that are not morally good, they don't care about doing right. They don't worry about whether or not they're doing right. They act like there even isn't a God anywhere. And so, but you like their company. And something feels good being around. You feel good being around. You feel like you're part of something. You feel like you're in the end game. You're feeling good about yourself. So you don't give any thought about what is happening to you as a result of the company that you're keeping. And as a result of the bad company, you find yourself in circumstances and situations that you wonder how you got there. So when the lawyer tells you, or the police officer arrests you, or you get so many tickets that you can't go anywhere for fear of getting stopped and going to jail, directly to jail, not pass and go, and not collecting $200. See, you don't consider your company, the influence of your company. You're doing what you want to do with no thoughts. But you haven't considered why you should consider what you're doing. And you're not going to consider why you shouldn't do it until something abruptly takes place in your life. Okay, you're still getting close. All right, case in point, bad habits. Bad habits. See, you can be a casual drinker. You know? I mean, you're in your home.
Yeah.
You're not making a public scene. And you just like the chill that it puts on you. The chill, you know, it takes the edge off of a hard day's work. That's what I heard. That's what I heard. Okay. Take the chill off. But so you doing it. You don't recognize why you shouldn't do it because your children are watching you do it. You are under control. They jump off. Ain't got no control. They blow up. Now, why is important? Well, maybe I shouldn't have been so public. Maybe I may not have needed to do that. If I knew it was going to cause this as a result. Everybody with me? Bad habits. You around folk that get high. You know? And a whole lot of folk smoking weed. In the church. Yeah, they smoking weed in the church, you know. And they doing it casually. Okay. That's what. You just, and you ain't bothering nobody. You just have a little fun, da da da. But the habit leads to, because marijuana weed is an intro drug. It's an intro drug. It only takes you so far. And after it has chemically affected your mind to the point to where it no longer gives you the edge that you need, you find yourself having to step up to something else. Now you ain't gonna do much, You didn't need a little because you need a bigger buzz. Next thing you know, you are strung out. What is? I have the ability to recreationally use drugs. But I haven't considered why I may or not do it. Until you get way down the road, done messed up your life, messed up your family, messed up your opportunities. You've messed all your money up. And now you're saying, you know, maybe that wasn't the best thing to do. You see, you don't consider the consequences of your actions until pain, loss, or hurt comes into your life. That's when we generally start asking why. We're generally more concerned with just what do I want to do? What do I want to do? Now, that's when why becomes important and you find yourself in trouble. You cuss somebody out because that's what you do. That's what you do. No consideration for why I may ought to bridle my tongue. And now you've messed up your influence. You're trying to backtrack. You have one opportunity to make a good impression, and many times we don't. Because we don't consider why. Why I ought to speak with kindness? Why I ought not say anything right now? Why I should go the other way? Why I need to say I'm sorry? Why? Why? So we don't get there until there's pain, loss of something, and hurt. You see, everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do has an impact on our lives.
Yes, sir.
Everything. Not most things, not some things, but everything. Every outer word, every outer thought, every idle deed has an impact on our life. Every last one of, wait a minute. Now you got to get this, don't miss this. And if everything you do has impact on your life, doesn't it demand that you consider what you're doing before you do it because it's going to have an impact on your life? Can you afford to be on automatic pilot and just do what comes to mind without considering the impact it's going to have on your life? But you don't recognize that everything has an impact. That's not on the radar. It's not on your screen. Until you really believe, really believe, that consequences show up in our lives, good or bad consequences. Good things happen as a result of what we do say and think, and bad things happen as a result of what we do say and think. And guess who gets to decide what you do? what you say and what you think. Guess who's responsible for governing what you do? What you say and what you think. It ain't matter. You see, I can't make you think. So stop blaming me. Well, if you hadn't, well, if they hadn't, well, you can't talk to me. No, that ain't me. That's your thinking. That's your speaking. That's your acting. You see, the consequences show up in our lives, good or bad, as a result of our words. Then if everything I say is either going to bring some good in my life, it's going to bring some bad in my life, and that's everything. Doesn't it make sense then that I ought to govern what I say, since good or bad is going to come from it? That consequences show up in our lives, good or bad, as a result of everything we do. Because your doing is the result of the thinking and the speaking. And because you thought and spoke that way so long, it's easy for you to do it without thinking because it's been programmed. We got programmed responses to just about everything that goes on in our lives. And won't even think about it. Okay, you go to the doctor. Watch this. You go to the doctor, and you do your blood work, you know, and you go home, and they call and say, you need to get here to the office as soon as possible. Now, you start thinking, what in the world is wrong? Some got to be wrong. Do I have the big C? Is it this? Or is it that? And then you finally get there, and they say, we just want you to know that everything was good and all your reports were good and everything was great. And, you know, we just want you to keep doing what you're doing. And think, but look where you took yourself. Your thinking had already started setting the stage for bad to come into your life. Because you had already started accepting. You didn't plan your funeral already. What song's gonna be sung, okay? And they ain't told you nothing yet. That's what we do. Everybody with me? Then, this is what you need to understand. Then teaching you how to renew your mind isn't gonna change anything in your life because you can't see how your mind is responsible for the quality, the quantity, and the spirituality of your life. You ain't made the connection yet. And I'd be wasting our time for me to just teach you that and you don't understand this. Everybody with me? That's why most of you ain't got a journal yet. Don't see how your mind can be responsible for the quality, quantity, and spirituality of your life. That's why some of you ain't taking no notes about how you're thinking because you can't see it. You can't see that. Oh, shit, I ain't got to do all of that. Been in the church umpteen years. I got this. You don't need me doing that. That's for folk that's new babes in Christ. Now, that may help them, but that ain't going to help. See, so because you have not made the connection and accepted the reality yet that your mind cannot be renewed until you acknowledge that you and your mind are responsible for the quality, the quantity, and your spirituality, and it starts in your mind. And the reason why you ain't no better than you are spiritually, because you can't see the need to change your mind. You are totally comfortable with where you are. And until some hurt, some pain, or some loss comes to you, you ain't gonna change. Okay, y'all feeling me now? That's why I couldn't just jump right in. Because y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready. You're getting ready, but you weren't ready. Everybody with me? Now, for the one or two of you who are doing what you're supposed to do, we'll get to you in a minute. Just hold on. I'm coming. But I don't want to leave everybody. I want to give everybody a chance at least to catch this one the first time. Because this is the most important time. Everybody with me? Now, God, now you say, well, I ain't brought no Bible in all day. I've been talking 30 minutes. God has always given us the power to create a good life or a bad life based on our choices. He gave and he's given us, and he always has. From the beginning, Adam and Eve in the garden, Genesis 2:15-17. Now, Adam, you in this place, and listen, let me tell you, you got access, Adam, to everything that's here. You can eat, Adam, of all of the herbs, all of the trees. You can have all of that. What? You can have all of this, but you can't eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. Why? Because the day you eat of this, you shall surely die. Got it, Adam? Got it. Got it. Understand? Yeah. So God gave Adam free will. You can build a life of good indefinitely with me. But if you do this, your life gonna be turned upside down. You understand, Adam? Got it. Now, we know what happened, right? They finally chose bad. And that one bad choice, what? They got the fruit. What? They got the fruit. They wasn't thinking about why then. Why you all not bothered, right? Because what was so important to them? And you see, free will is such that sometimes we believe that we really know what's best for us. Yeah. Now, we really believe that I make pretty good decisions. And I can handle whatever decisions I make. And so we toy with God says, don't. We say, it ain't that bad, and I can handle it. We choose, but we forget why. Okay. Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, Genesis chapter 4, both were given instructions as to how to worship God. How do you know? Because the Hebrew writer says, by faith, Abel offered a more noble sacrifice than Cain. And the scripture says, Romans 10, 17, by faith, faith cometh. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? So God had instructed them if they did it by faith. Right? Abel decided, he made a choice because he got free will. I know what God said. However, ain't no need, this is a good crop. Good crop. And I worked just as hard on my stuff as Abel worked on his. And I know that God would value my honest and sincere offering of the best that I have. However, that God said, don't offer, I don't want but this. And when God rejected him and accepted him, he made another choice. He decided that not only did you show me up by your sacrifice, but you made me look so bad. And he got so enraged that he made another choice, that he took his brother out and killed him. He killed him. So he had the power. But he created a bad life based on the bad choice. But he had the right. God gave him that, right? But then he was banished and a mark placed on him. And he set out with the world knowing who he is and what he had done. And God's saying, don't nobody touch him. I want him to live every day as long as he will, knowing what he did. Why? Because you disregarded me. Okay. See, God has always given us the power. Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. Abram, I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you. And I'm asking you, Abram, to leave your family. Pick up your family. And I know that you don't have any descendants right now. You don't have any children. But if you do this for me, if you trust me, then I'm gonna make your seed so great that you can't number it.
Yeah.
Abram packed up. What you doing? Well, God, I heard this voice that told me to go somewhere. Where you going? Well, I don't know. It said it'll show me when I get there. But I gotta go. Why? That ain't making no sense. But I believe that this is the God, the God. I know we worship these idols, but this wasn't the idol talking this time. This is the God. And he packed up and left. He made the choice. He had the power. And because he did it, God kept blessing his life and blessing his life and and blessing his life. He messed up a couple of times, lying here and there, but God kept blessing his life and blessing his life. They brought in Hagar to try to help God out, and God said, no, 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 I'm going to do it through you. But God kept blessing his life and blessing his life. And when God got ready, because of the choice that he made, he had a son with his wife in his old age. See, God has always given us the power to create a good life or a bad life based on our choices. Now, let me watch it play out. I want you to walk with me now. I want you to see the scriptures and watch this play out. Watch God. Proverbs 4:20. Son, pay attention to what I say. Listen to my words. Never let them get away from you. Remember them. You need to keep them in your heart. That's what. Keep my word. What? Keep my word. Why? They will give life and health to anybody. Anybody who understands them. They'll give life. They'll give health to anybody who understands. So you need to keep this. What? Be careful now how you think. What? Be careful how you think, son. Because your life, why? Your life is shaped by your thoughts. What? Never say anything that isn't true. Never say anything that isn't true. Well, why not? Because you start programming your mind to lie. And some of us are good at it. We've been programming it a while. Look, don't say anything to do. Have nothing to do with lies and misleading words. What? Look straight ahead with honest confidence. Don't hang your head in shame. Don't you hang your head in shame. I don't care what you do. Don't you act like I don't have you. Don't do it. What? Plan carefully. What you do? Plan. Think about it. And why? And whatever you do, when you plan what you do, instead of do what you do because you've always done it, plan carefully what you do. And then, why? And whatever you do because you plan, we're going to come out right. What? Avoid evil and walk straight ahead. Don't you deviate over here because it looks like a compromise will help you out. Don't you deviate over here because it looks like you're protecting your interests. You just go straight ahead. So don't you take one step off to the right. Don't you take one step off to the left. God has always given us the choice to create a good life or a bad life. It's always been in our power. Okay. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, the nation of Israel, Abraham's descendant, had been down in Egyptian bondage for a while. Y'all reading. I don't want y'all reading. I want you listening right now. They've been in Egyptian bondage for a while. And we know the story. 400 years, right? A whole generation has died in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Moses is getting ready to give. Don't put that back up. Moses is getting ready to give his final talk to them because he's not going to the promised land. But for time's sake, I can't take you through chapter 27, chapter 28, and chapter 29. I want you to read that on your own. Deuteronomy chapter 27, 28, and 29. In those chapters, God gives instructions about what you need to do when you get to the land, what you better not do if you get to the land, and why you don't want to do it, because this is what's going to happen to you if you do. And it's listed over and over and over again. Like stuff like, don't you lead no blind man off the path and take advantage of him. All this kind of stuff, you know. Don't you disrespect your parents. Because if you do, some coming. Don't you worship an idol God after I done all this for you. Because if you do, something bad going to happen to you. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Some folk going to come up in here and take you out of here. They're going to tear down your walls. They're going to rob your crops. And they're going to put you in poverty. And then he tells them, and the folk that you got working for you, aliens, the aliens working for you, you'll need to get something from them when I get through. Because they will have more than you. Okay. But this is a summary of the conclusion. Watch this. The command that I'm giving you today, he says, is not too difficult or beyond your reach. Now listen, understand this. What God asks of us has always been and will always be in our power to do. He never, ever asks anything that you don't have the power to do. So watch the scripture. So the command I'm giving you today, this ain't too difficult or beyond your reach. It's not up in the sky. So you have to ask somebody, will you go up there and bring this law down to me so I can understand what I need to do? So that we can hear him and obey it, because it's out of my reach. No, it ain't out of your reach. Nor is it on the other side of the ocean, where you have to ask somebody, will anybody help me cross the ocean so I can get what he said, so I can make sure I do what he asks? No, it ain't cross the ocean. So nobody has to bring it to you. So that we may hear it and obey it? No, verse 14. It is here with you. You know it. And you can quote it. You can quote it. Children, obey your parents. For what? You can quote it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ. And you can quote it. You can quote it. You know it. So now, obey it. Because you know it. Stop acting like you don't know. You know it. You know it. Watch this. So today, verse 15, I'm giving you a choice between good and evil, between life and death. You know this, so I'm just going to give you a choice because you know. Now, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I've given you today, if you love him, if you obey him, if you keep his laws, what? Then, why? You will prosper and become a nation of many people. If you just do it, because you know what to do. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're about to occupy. You ain't even, but I'm going to bless you. Verse 17. But if you disobey me and you refuse to listen, what? You disobey because you got a choice. I'm giving you the choice. So if you choose to not do, because you grown, you bad, you ain't going out like that. Okay, all right. So you choose not to obey, because you know it and you can quote it. Now, and you are led away to worship other gods, you will be what? You will be destroyed. Not maybe. But now this is your choice now. I'm giving you. You can create whatever life you want. Just choose. You will be destroyed now. So I warn you here and now. Listen to me. I'm trying to tell you, you got free will. You can roll this out like you want to. But you know what I told you. You can quote what I told you. So now I'm warning you now. You will not live long in that land across the Jordan that you're about to occupy. If you don't choose right. Okay? Listen, verse 19. I'm now giving you the choice between life and death. That's what I'm laying out before you. You can live or you can die. You can have life or you can choose death. You got the power. You got the power between God's blessing and God's curse. Wait a minute. So God doesn't curse when your life falls apart. You cursed it because you chose not to do what you knew what to do because you quoted what to do. Wait a minute. So when your marriage falls apart, God didn't break you up. You chose to have a little something on the side. You chose to do this and that. So all you're getting right now is what you had the power to create. Now, you got the power. You got to choose now between life and death, between my blessing and the cursing. And by the way, you need to understand, God doesn't spend time trying to curse and bless individually. God put a system in place, and when you apply the system, blessings come, or when you disregard the system, curses come. Because he gave you the power. Some of you have been in some cursing. You know, you brought that up. Okay, now listen. Choose life. See, somebody missed that. You got the power to create a life that you want. Choose life. Period. Love the Lord your God. Obey him and be faithful to him. That's what? Why? And then you and your children will live long in the land that I promised to give. Cause you chose life. You chose life. Okay? The land that I promised your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, you can get all of that. Okay, I'm closing with this. And this is what you got on. Now, this is the text that was read. And I don't have 3 minutes to really deal with this, but let me do this. Paul writes to the church, and we quote this all the time, but we miss some stuff. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We say that all the time. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. All of that is what? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Verse 16. For by him, Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Now here's the point. Everything visible that you see. Oh, but wait a minute. But everything invisible that you cannot see. Let me park here just for a second. There are some invisible laws that God has put in place. You can't see them. But when you do some good, the law picks up on the effort that you have, and it starts moving good stuff in your life to bring about good, but you can't see it. But there's something else out there. When you do something bad, when you ain't acting right, because you know the law, you know what he said, then you put something out there that you can't see, that picks up on what you did, what you said, how you said it, how you act. And then it starts creating stuff to bring some bad back in your life. Because you can't see it. But don't think because you can't see it that it ain't there. Don't think it ain't real. Wait a minute. Flashback then. You mean to tell me that when I started doing this and this, that something invisible that I can't see picked up on it? Yeah, it did. Because look what happened to you. It started creating because you had the power to create it. And so you brought all of that stuff all in your life. But you knew the law. You can quote it. He's promising you, choose life, choose life, choose life. And then we go and choose death. And something invisible starts moving. Boy, I wish I had time with this. Whether they be thrones, listen. Whether they be dominions, there are angelic beings that handle good stuff, and there are angelic beings that handle the bad stuff. Depending on what you put out there, they pick up the assignment. Oh, got a bad one coming. Hey, I got this one. I got this one. I got it. Oh, there's a good something coming. I got it. We're going to take care of it. We're going to bless him. And everything you do, everything you say, everything you think sets something up in motion that you can't see, but just know the God of heaven put it in place to make sure to honor you with what you deserve, whether it be good or bad. Okay. And be not conformed to this world. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove with the invisible world what the good, perfect will of God is. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just and pure, lovely, and of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praiseworthiness, choose to think on these things. Do you understand why I couldn't give it to you yet? We weren't ready. But if you're here, and the Spirit of God is convicting you of an area of your life that you need convicting in,